Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of what has been an action-packed show. We had Mark McCloskey, the homeowner from St. Louis, defending his property with his alongside his wife, armed to the teeth. We had a Ted Nugent on. We had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West hanging out with us in the last segment. And we're going to be talking to our good friend Spencer Brown from Young America's Foundation in just a moment. But I have a question for you. Here we are coming up on the 4th of July weekend. There's, sad to say, there will not be many celebrations around the country. In America right now, it is permissible to protest in the streets. It is permissible for crowds of people to gather around statues and topple those statues. But it is not permissible for people to gather to celebrate America. It is permissible for armed thugs to fire fireworks and shoot fireworks at innocent people. But it's not legal for us to fire and shoot fireworks into the sky to celebrate the birth of this nation. This is just where we are in America right now. But I want to ask you a question. Why are you proud to be an American? Why do you love this country? What does this country mean to you? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. It's not a trick question. I'm curious. Why is it that you love America? So again, on the Newsmaker line, our good friend Spencer Brown from Young America's Foundation. Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well, and I'm doing a lot better after I read the findings of this incredible survey that Young America's Foundation commissioned with townhall.com. And you guys decided to look into how patriotic young Americans are, and your findings are really stunning. So tell us what you guys discovered.
Well, yeah, we have been watching, as I think probably most people have, as cities around the country are kind of under siege, and we see it's a lot of generally young people who are out there doing the rioting and running around tearing down statues and things like that. And you'll often hear the talking heads say, you know, the next generation is very unhappy with America and wants to, you know, basically erase history in order to build a better country on top of what's left that they don't burn down. And we just didn't buy that because we work with young people every day, and we know how many young conservatives and just patriotic young people there are. And so we did a poll of both high school and college students to look and see, you know, how do they actually feel about America? How do they feel about our institutions and our values? And like you said, we were very encouraged by what we found. You know, there are more than three quarters that view our country favorably. A whopping 82% view the American flag favorably. A clear majority, you know, are glad they live in America and understand why people from around the world want to come here for things like our constitutional freedoms and our rights and good jobs and the opportunity to build a better life. But one thing that we did see, which was not surprising, but is still just a very clear problem, is how much the data differs when you look at somebody in high school versus somebody who's left high school and their family and has gone off to college. And what we see there is that once you get to college, the leftist professors and your leftist peers and others just really chip away at that patriotism. And we see college students have much more negative views of our country and the things that make us great.
So what you are basically doing is affirming what we've been saying for a long time on this program, Spencer, that our college and university classrooms are indoctrination centers, anti-American indoctrination centers.
Completely, yeah. And that's one of the things that's been interesting, I think, as I've been watching everybody watching what else is going on, is what we see in the streets of Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Minneapolis, and across the country. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone because, like you have covered for years and YAF has obviously highlighted for decades, we know that this is what college campuses are like. These are the things that people are told are basically the only tolerable way to live, and that's erasing things you're uncomfortable with, being violent and lashing out instead instead of ever coming to a table to have a discussion about things that you feel are not right. And everything from abolishing prisons to defunding the police to paying reparations, everything like that has been totally normal on college campuses for years. And so now to see it spilling over into the mainstream, you know, a lot of people are sort of caught off guard. But if you were caught off guard, it's probably because you weren't taking seriously what's been going on college campuses.
You know, that is a fair point. And we raised this issue. You know, Barack Obama, what was it, 10 years ago, when he promised to fundamentally transform America, that's really when all of this started in earnest, this anti-police mentality. And they just poured gasoline on this fire. And now here we are, and you've got a generation of young people who were indoctrinated during this radical era of American politics, and now they're in the mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, these are the ones who are not just entering the real world, but are starting to run the real world at this point. You know, these are people who are on city councils and in some cases mayors. These are people who are leading organizations that have amassed, you know, money and resources to be able to further advocate for these things outside of college campuses, outside of those kind of weird bubbles that people, I don't know why, but assumed that this craziness would be contained to. And so it really is a situation where we saw this coming. We know that this is a problem whenever you have these echo chambers in higher education. And with this, we have real empirical data that shows once you get to college, you are less likely to believe that America is exceptional. You are less likely to think that we're a good example for other countries. You're not going to have a good view of America's history, and you're not going to feel proud of your country. And obviously that is problematic, because if you don't understand and appreciate our history and all of the incredible progress that has been made, why would you value anything? Why wouldn't you just want to go and start tearing stuff down if it makes you unhappy? You know, that's kind of the reaction that these campuses in their dealings with conservative speakers have trained people to react. And now all those people who were students and were just, you know, at UC Berkeley are now in cities across the country.
Spencer Brown with Young America's Foundation, YAF, that's YAF.org is the website. It's a tremendous organization. And if you have kids in high school, junior high, college, you got to check out their incredible programs. Spencer, where do we go from here? So now we have this information. We know that kids are somehow being radicalized, being turned against the country in college. What do we do to fight back?
Well, I think part of the sort of the encouraging result here is that we see how many high school students really do love this country. And I think that's a great credit to their parents and grandparents. And the fact that, you know, we are passing down, as President Reagan said, those values of freedom and the importance and the uniqueness of what we have here in America. And it's the reason why Young America's Foundation about a decade ago started high school programs specifically for those students, because we realized that if these students already feel this way and they're going to enter this lion's den of ridiculousness when they go to college, they need to have the absolute best arguments and tactics and resources available to be able to defend and expound on those ideas when they get to college. And so this shows us that we need to, you know, double or triple our efforts with high school students to make sure that when they go to college, they can be the ones who still stand up and say, no, America is a great, unique, special place, and we shouldn't just try to erase everything about it because we decided one thing makes us uncomfortable. And that's, you know, what we're going to keep doing. And so, like you said, if you have a high schooler or a young person in your life, you know, get them involved with our programs. Have them start a YAF chapter at their high school. Have them come visit President Reagan's ranch out in California for a conference when we can do that again. And if we shore up these students, we see that those students go on to speak out and speak up, and they end up being kind of the rallying points for other students who feel the same way but might just be scared to stand up on their own.
And, you know, these conferences, you know, it really is about networking. And when I decided to buy this the radio station in Memphis, we were looking for some hires, conservative journalists. And I was speaking at the YAF convention meeting in Nashville. And a student came up and said, hey, you know, I'm graduating from the University of Memphis, you know, would love to get a job. And now she is gainfully employed at Starnes Media Group. So, you know, again, it's a great networking resource.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun when you have somebody who's a student activist turn out to be the person answering the phone when I call in to chat on the morning show there. But it's. I mean, conservatives really are one big happy family, and it's an amazing place to discover, you know, those options for your future, so that way you don't end up going to college and feeling like your only option is to become, back to the Obama era, I guess, a pajama boy living in your parents' basement. There's a lot of stuff you can do as a conservative to continue making a difference, not just as a student, but then once you enter the real world and you can continue to push back against the craziness that's going on around us. And we are always very happy when we see our alum end up in good spots like that.
Send more. That's all I can tell you. We need more.
Will do.
All right. Spencer Brown, Young America's Foundation, YAF.org. That's YAF.org. If you want to get more information about becoming a part of this terrific organization. Spencer, thanks for the good news today. We could sure use more of that.
Absolutely. Have a good Independence Day.
All right. Happy 4th of July. Good guy right there, Spencer Brown. Folks, there it is in black and white. Your university campuses, by and large, have been turned into anti-American indoctrination centers. That's what's happened here. And by the way, I want to mention something about some of these so-called conservative groups. We do our homework here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's a fascinating story written by Will Chamberlain up on the up on Human Events, great conservative website. And there is the College Republican organization. Now, you would think that the College Republicans would be a conservative bunch of folks, but it turns out they're a bunch of never Trumpers. And Human Events has done a tremendous job exposing the anti-Trump sentiment and, quite frankly, anti-conservative sentiment that's happening at the within the ranks of the College Republican National Committee. I said Will Chamberlain. Will is with Human Events. Gavin Wax is the author of this story, and we will post a link to it in the live show blog. But it's very important for you to understand that just because something says Republican, just because something says conservative, does not necessarily make it a conservative group. Young America's Foundation, rock solid conservative. I've been a part of their group for many years. They've invited me out to many of their events, and it's just been a great blessing, honestly, to speak and lecture to many of the students in the movement. All right, we've got to take a break. The question of the hour, why are you proud to be an American? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
America. Fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Stearns.
Maria writes in on the Facebook page, Todd, I do not appreciate your comments calling out Republicans for inaction without specifics. It antagonizes people against Republicans. Is that your goal? I mean, that's not my goal, Maria. The goal here is to encourage the Republicans to light a fire under their backsides. So they stand up and they speak out. We need Republican lawmakers to be just as loud and proud as the Democrats are. Yes, I know I culturally appropriated loud and proud. I get it. But you know what I'm talking about here. Where are the Republican leaders? Where is Republican leadership right now? Are they hiding under a rock? What's going on here? And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little sick and tired of it. I mean, if an elderly woman from New York City can stand up and speak out about injustice and about these and about these attacks on our freedoms and our liberty, if a lady from New York City can do that, what about the rest of us? Why can't we speak out? And as you heard in the first hour of this show, Mark McCloskey, the St. Louis homeowner, he said this was not a peaceful crowd. This was a mob. He says they were not singing Kumbaya. Now, we have some audio here, and I want you to listen to this because it really does speak to the heart of what this Black Lives Matter mob is really all about. Cut number one, please.
Sheer nerve, the sheer entitled caucasity to say all lives matter. I'm gonna stab you. I'm gonna stab you. And while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'm going to show you my paper cut and say, my cut matters too.
Caucasity. So this is some Asian chick. Ann Coulter calls her Asian Karen. That's brilliant. I love Ann Coulter. She just gets right to the heart of it all. Asian Karen there, threatening to stab any of you folks out there who believe all lives matter. And you heard Alan West saying that if the Southern Baptist Convention president really said that we need to stop saying all lives matter, that he needs to step down from his office. So I want to play some audio for you. This is a guy, he wrote the story in Human Events about the college Republicans. He was out in front of the National Museum of Natural History in New York City. His name is Gavin Wax. Let's listen to cut two, please.
NYPD! 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 NYPD!
Where are our leaders? Where are our leaders? We elect them every year, and they tell us we're going to do everything we promised, and they never, ever deliver. I don't care what party they are, Democrat or Republican. We got plenty of weak, limp-wristed Republicans in office who do nothing. Where are they? Where are they for our statues? Where are they for our flag? Where are they for our police officers? Nowhere. I don't care what letter is next to your name. If you're not defending this country, you don't get my vote. I hope as well they don't get your vote.
Yeah.
Thank God. But thank God we do have someone with some balls, some chutzpah in the White House who's going to stand up and protect our people. And the other day, he passed an executive order that's up to 10 years in prison for anyone caught defacing and destroying American monuments. God bless that. They pillage our cities. They loot our stores. They destroy our communities. They erase our history. Enough is enough. Basta.
Hold the line.
And I wish that this wasn't just purely a grassroots effort. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all the groups, but I wish we had some more institutional support. I wish we had the electeds here. I wish we had the party here. Where are they? Where are everyone? We're out here schmitzing in the sun, yelling for our country.
Schmitzing.
Where the hell are they?
That's sweating. That's sweating.
All right, listen. I was talking to these great officers, and they're working hard, and they got to get back to protecting our streets. They can't just be protecting us from the mob over there, even though there's like maybe five of them. But listen, we're going to have to wrap it up soon, but I want to thank everyone who showed up today. And let
okay, enough of that. Thank you, Caleb. So you get an idea that Americans across the country, we're talking about New York City here, where you've got law-abiding taxpayers who are finally standing up and saying, what the hell's going on here? What has happened to our country? By the way, this just coming in from Breitbart in San Francisco. The police department says they're going to stop releasing mugshots of people who have been arrested. And the reason why is they say it could be racially offensive. So now in San Francisco, and look, a lot of people post these mugshots because you want to be aware of who the bad guys are. So if one of them lives in your neighborhood, at least you can warn the little old ladies and the moms with the young children that they have a criminal living in their neighborhood. But now the San Francisco PD says, yeah, we're not going to be able to do that anymore. We're not going to be releasing any mugshots to the public. 844-747-8868. You think that really makes you safer, America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Becoming the face of political resistance to the Black Lives Matter movement?
First of all, that's a completely ridiculous statement. I'm not the face of anything opposing the Black Lives Matter movement. I was a person scared for my life who was protecting my wife, my home, my hearth, my livelihood. I was a victim of a mob that came through the gate. I didn't care what color they were. I didn't care what their motivation was. I was frightened, I was assaulted, and I was in imminent fear that they would run me over kill me, burn my house. And you have to have this in the context of St. Louis, where on June the 2nd of this year, I watched the city burn. I watched the 7-Eleven get smashed in, looted, and burned for 40 minutes on live television with nobody showing up to do anything. And I realized at that time, we're on our own. When bad things happen, they unpredictably turn really bad, real fast. That same night, retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn was murdered. These things get very bad very quickly. And when those people came through the gate, when it was a mob, I didn't take the time to see their birth certificates or anything else. I was defending my house, my life, my wife, and what I've spent 32 years building there.
I understand what you say your rationale was. To be clear, did anything happen to you or your property?
Did anything happen to... Yeah, my life has been ruined.
We'll get to that, Mr. McCloskey. I don't mean to cut you off. But I'm saying that night, did anything happen to you, your family, or your property?
No, because he
had a
gun.
Yeah, it's called social intimidation. It's called terrorism. Chris, what's the definition of terrorism? To use violence and intimidation to frighten the public. That's what was happening that night. It's what happened to me. And that's the damage I suffered.
You were the one pointing a loaded weapon at a group of people who were walking past looking for the mayor's house as a point of protest.
No, I'm doing this. Chris, that's an entirely false concept. No single media outlet has ever mentioned the complete falsity of that statement. The mayor's house cannot be reached through my neighborhood.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, is Chris Cuomo from CNN, the most profane name in news, the man also known as Fredo. The voices you heard there are Mark McCloskey, who was the homeowner who was on the first hour of this program. And he went toe-to-toe with Fredo last night. And all I can tell you about what Mr. McCloskey did, he should be saluted for his performance in that interview. It was almost like Fredo was back in the boat on Lake Tahoe going fishing, saying the Hail Marys. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a great friend of this program, the elegant, the regal, the incredibly gifted Trish Regan. Trish, welcome back to the show.
Todd, thanks so much for having me. And my hat's off to the McCloskeys there. Wow, they really went through something. My goodness.
You know, they really did, Trish. And what really troubles me is that so many people around this country who are would in fact have been victims of criminal activity are now considered, in the eyes of some, at least Black Lives Matter, to be the criminals themselves.
Listen, we're in a really messed up place right now. This has taken on a whole life of its own that has nothing to do with equality, which is something that's fundamental and very American, right? Every American deserves opportunity and deserves meritocracy. This has gone beyond that, where they're almost saying, you know, forget meritocracy because one group of people are starting with a different set of facts because of historical issues. And as such, it can never be made up. And as such, equality can never be achieved. Thus, you must change. You got to change the deck. You got to stack it differently in adherence with American values, right? Of work ethic, opportunity, meritocracy. Instead, they want people to actually look at the color of someone's skin and judge them for that. And you're assuming that someone actually can't achieve something because of it. I mean, it's really pretty fundamentally flawed, but I think it's really gone beyond being about race at this point, and it's turned into something else, which is a kind of anarchy that they're wishing for. They want to revolutionize everything, right? That means tearing down our history, tearing down, you know, sort of the values that have made us the success that we are and the envy of the world and the world's number one economy. They want to change all that into something else, which looks a whole lot more like Venezuela or Cuba or communist Cambodia or the former USSR, you name it. You go around the world, Todd, it doesn't work.
And Trish, you and I both know, when you look at the nation of Chaz, as they called it, or Chomp, or whatever it was, that's what the country would look like without law enforcement, without law and order. And we saw this when I was a reporter during the Occupy Wall Street movement in New York City. This is what the left wants for America. This is a fundamental transformation of America.
See, what I think is really troubling is, you know, when we talk about the left, I think it's actually a minority of people that want this, right? They're just, there's a minority that's trying to brainwash everybody else into thinking that this is what's needed in order to correct the sins of the past. And they're creating such a cancel culture that if you dare to speak out against it, and if you dare to, you know, point out the elephant in the room, or the emperor has no clothes, then you are somehow a bad person fundamentally. You must be racist. You must be this. You must be that. I mean, they are effectively slandering anyone that dares to disagree with them. And that's a real breakdown. And it's been happening right over the last couple of decades. I think what the left has done politically is that they have influenced the culture of America in such a way that has made people very fearful to have a difference of opinion. And there's now a total lack of respect for any kind of intellectual diversity. And that really, I think, threatens, Todd, who we are fundamentally as a nation, as we try and, you know, persevere and make our way forward. If we can't have diverse debate and respectful debate, then we don't have much of a future.
Look, it's a valid point you're raising here, Trish. And then when you see what the New York City Council did late last night in the dark of night, slashing $1 billion from the NYPD's budget. I mean, they're looking at a massive crime wave right now in the city. I'm wondering what you are hearing. I mean, you're in the New York City area. What are people saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are people saying about what's happening?
Everybody's leaving. I just talked to a girlfriend the other day whose family there is in New York City, and she said, you know, we can't stay. They're looking to move out as well, because she said, this is no place for my kids. This is no place for them to be. Everybody has left. So I'll tell you, anybody who can, Todd, leaves. And you are left with the people that are actually struggling the most in society, right? So as a consequence of this, and you know I look at everything through an economic lens, you're not going to have much of a tax base now, are you, right? Because all the billionaires and all the millionaires that paid 4% city income tax to the great city of New York, they're gone. They're out of there. They've relocated to Florida, Texas, Connecticut, New Jersey, you name it, anywhere they can go that's not New York City now. So they lose their tax base, and they're defunding their police. And I'm telling you, the communities that need protection, you know, if you're a mom just trying to go to work every day to feed your three kids, and you've got to worry about some thug robbing you on the subway, listen, you want those police. Right. You need them there in your community. And Bill de Blasio is depriving people of that. It makes me really sick when I see communities like Minneapolis, the city council, vote to defund the police and dismantle the police, all while simultaneously asking for private police protection for themselves to the tune of $4,500 a day. Right. So that you've got taxpayers now that get no police protection, that are footing the bill for the bureaucrats that are defunding and dismantling the police, who want their own private staff. It reminds me that I've reported from all over the world, including in a lot of really dicey places like Tegucigalpa, Honduras, or Medellin, Colombia, or Asuncion, Paraguay. And the similarity in all these spots, Todd, is that you've got armed guards outside everybody's gated house, including for the bureaucrats and the elites, and they're protected. Everybody else, good luck. You're on your own.
It's terrifying how quickly it's happening, Trish, and especially in those cities, like you mentioned, Minneapolis and now New York City. Our time is quickly dwindling away here, and I want to ask you about the economy. Speaker Newt Gingrich was on one of the programs, I think it was Fox News, a couple of days ago. He's pretty bullish about the president being reelected unless the country gets shut down again. And he said at that point, he thinks the president could be in big trouble. Do you think we can survive economically if this country gets shut down again?
No, I don't think we can. And there's two parts to this. One, we can't go through it again. We just can't take it economically or, frankly, mentally. And we need to do what we can to protect those that are most vulnerable. Everybody else kind of needs to get with the program and on with their lives, taking the necessary precautions, of course. But we need to be back up and running. But I'll tell you, if we do shut down again, and if you do run into a situation where the president doesn't get reelected, you're looking at a Biden administration complete with what? Elizabeth Warren as Treasury Secretary and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as head of commerce or head of energy with her green energy program. Let me tell you, that is a recipe for economic disaster. If Wall Street is volatile now, look, when they wake up and they say to themselves, oh my gosh, we're looking at Elizabeth Warren at Treasury, along with, you know, transfer wealth payments and taxes up the wazoo, quite possibly reparations. I mean, you're going to have a mess of an economic situation that is going to make Venezuela look, you know, not that frankly different than where we might be heading. So I think it's really important that we do reopen just for so many reasons. But listen, people need to be able to take care of themselves and their families, and being back at work is a big part of that.
Yeah, well said. All right, Trish, we're going to have to leave it there. Where can folks go to hang out with Trish Regan these days?
Well, I would love it if they came and found me on Twitter at @Trish_Regan and at @RealTrishRegan on Facebook.
Excellent. We'll do that. And of course, you hang out with our good friend Sebastian Gorka as well on the radio. So
I'll be there this Friday. Yes.
Good stuff. We'll be listening then. Trish, happy 4th of July to you.
You too, Todd. Thank you so much.
All right. The great Trish Regan, folks, one of the incredibly conservative voices, reliable conservative voices in American culture right now. And we love having Trish on the program. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarns.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
I don't know if you got the gist of what Trish Regan was trying to say, but if you plan on going on a family vacation, stay the you-know-what away from New York City. You don't want to go anywhere near New York City. It is absolutely too dangerous. And I'm telling you this, I'm hearing from former colleagues at Fox News who have left town. They're out of there. It's getting very dangerous on the streets. Mayor Bill de Blasio just announced that late last night they dumped $1 billion, cut $1 billion from the NYPD budget. The mayor said on MSNBC he's going to use some of the cop money to paint Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower. I mean, this is basically an up yours moment. You've got people being gunned down in the street. Crime is off the charts. And this mayor is using money that the police would have had to protect citizens to paint a Marxist political message in front of Trump Tower. Just so you understand what's really going on in New York City right now. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. John, our good friend, Pastor John in Madison, Ohio. John, what's going on?
First of all, Todd, God bless you and your entire staff there. And you guys always give us hope. Calm, reason, and the time of insanity. I just wanted to make a suggestion to your listeners, okay, and yourself included. I have a front and rear dash cam now for my car. I also got a mini body cam. That couple in St. Louis should have had a body cam, so that way they could have broadcast it. They could have put the story out, their end of the story, when they were threatened and everything else. I've been wearing a body cam for almost a year now because anytime somebody accuses you of something, you can turn it on and like police do. It's really sad we've gotten to that point, Todd, but that's the suggestion I would strongly make to your viewers. I mean, not your viewers, but to your listeners, because, Todd, you're well connected with the electronic media industry. I'm sure you can get good deals, call it the Todd Starnes special deal on body cams as well as dash cams. I just wanted to put that out there, Todd.
That's a good idea. I mean, look, it's a good idea, John. I'm not sure it would have made a difference. Right now, if you are a police officer or if you are a white person, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be accused of doing something you did not do. And that's just the reality of the situation right now in this country, John.
But like I said, John, I just had to call because, you know, it's really been put on my heart to say that. I mean, it's really sad, but like I said, Todd, I think, and you know, it does, you know, because I'm part Japanese, so it doesn't matter because I look Caucasian, but I'm not apologizing for being that because you know what? I'm proud to be an American citizen. I love my country. I serve my country. And no matter what you say, we're still the best game in town, but the way we're going, we're in a lot of trouble. That's why we need to pray for America. And that's why Todd Starnes always gives us a lot of hope out there. Love you, brother.
Oh,
take care.
Well, Pastor John, thank you as always. We appreciate you calling in, and thanks for the kind words. And we try to find hope. And look, I'm still a very hopeful person. But folks, it's getting tough. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's getting a little tough out there. And that's why it is so important for our Republican leadership to get out there with their megaphones, and they need to be louder and prouder than President Trump. They do. They've got to get out there. And look, I understand why the average Republican, the average conservative doesn't want to get involved, doesn't want to get engaged. I get it. But the reality is, if you don't get involved, you're going to lose your country. You know, I can only do so much with this microphone here. The rest of it is up to you guys. Getting out there, calling your elected representatives, marching in the streets when we have to march in the streets, putting up the signs, putting up the placards. And don't be afraid. That's, again, the left has silenced so many of you. They want you to think that just because you believe all lives matter, that makes you a racist. And what's troubling to me is how many young conservatives have actually bought into that narrative. That if you say all lives matter, that makes you a bad person. Just remember something we said earlier in the program. Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with race. This is about Marxism. This is about radically changing this country. And what they're doing, and it's a very shrewd, it's a brilliant strategy. They have cloaked themselves in this issue of race in America. And as a result of that, they have been able to make incredible gains. Unbelievable, folks. Just absolutely unbelievable. We've got to stand tall. I want to make you a promise. We're going to stand up for you every single day on this radio show. I can promise you that. Hey, ToddStarnes.com, download the podcast, and you're going to want to download today's. It was a doozy of a show. Also, our free newsletter, ToddStarnes.com. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. God bless America.